Dione Brady is a Mount Edgecombe alumna, class of 1991. And back in February, when the House Finance Subcommittee was talking about what cuts could be made to education, she was surprised that Mount Edgecombe came up. The conversation, led by Representative Lynn Gaddis of Wasilla, essentially asked how much the school costs the state. But the underlying question for many teachers and students was this.
Some of the subtext there was whether or not Mount Edgecombe is even needed anymore at all.
Brady is now a social studies teacher at Mount Edgecombe, and she said her first reaction was denial.
And even as a government teacher who should have been more aware of the possibility that state revenue that's so dependent on oil would decrease, that this school might not exist forever, never occurred to me. And I'll confess that my second, because it's like a second home to me, my second reaction was anger.
Brady took to the Friends of Mount Edgecombe Facebook page, which has nearly 1,000 likes. A network of alumni around the state began making phone calls, writing letters to legislators, and uploading photos of themselves with Brave sweatshirts and Brave hats. Their colors are maroon and gold. Brady said it was a springboard point for lessons in her own classroom.
To kind of show students how government works and how the budget process works, but underclassmen who definitely knew that they wanted to continue their education at Mount Edgecombe were very worried during that time. I think that this just sort of validated what we've been telling them, that it's not an inalienable right for Mount Edgecombe to exist, and that, in fact, we live in a fishbowl and that people are always looking to see whether Mount Edgecombe is doing the job that it's kept open in order to do.
And according to the administration, what the school is trying to do is provide an educational alternative for students around the state, some in rural places with less opportunities. Ayla Reynolds is a new student I met in the cafeteria at the beginning of the school year. She's from Savunga, an island in the Bering Sea.
Like, it's a big world out there, and there's a lot of stuff to do than staying on an island. The same old routine every day on an island. I couldn't vision how it was going to be here, because, like, it's a new adventure.
Superintendent Bill Hutton said he's relieved the funding will continue, but with one major hitch. It may not be enough this year to cover the rising cost of operating the residential program at the school. Contracts for dorms and food service, as well as personnel costs, are up.
And flat funding, flat sounds like it's perfect, but really we have incremental increases in expenditures, and so we have to cut in order to be prepared for those.
Also of major concern for Hutton is how much money the school receives per student enrolled. The legislature proposed a cut of 1.1%, which translates into $46,000 less for Mount Edgecombe. If that figure survives the special session, it will leave the school, and likely many others, with a deficit.
As of right now, we're about $225,000 short for next year.
To prepare, Hutton is planning to purchase a minimum of school supplies, reduce travel for student activities, and to keep 2.5 open teaching positions empty. But much is up in the air. Hutton's experience speaks to the odd dichotomy many superintendents are finding themselves in as they await the final budget, to plan for a financial future with a foggy crystal ball. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.